You're listening to the Cairo Success Podcast, where we reveal the secrets to a massively successful practice. Here's your host, Dr. Tori Robeson.
Oh, hello, winners. Yes, we are optimistic, positive, and excited about chiropractic, the incredible profession, the practical use of the hands, reaching people with our practice, building an exceptional life of productivity, prosperity, and generosity, while filled with love, fitness, and fun. Of course, our purpose, want to become smarter, more powerful, more capable and driven, and superior versions of ourselves by ever-increasing our awareness, knowledge, understanding, motivation, our hands-on skill, got to be getting better, our communication skill, better with our word choices, and mastery in the art of exceptional living. Of course, anytime you train with me, Tori the Chiropractor, Tori the Chiropractic Success Consultant, means you're going to get more new and high-value patients. You become a more capable motivator and persuader of people. You'll be empowered to make smarter long-term decisions. And, of course, you'll be energized physically, mentally, and financially. What a fun topic we have today. Everybody's heard about this. The Pareto Principle. The Pareto Rule. Sometimes called the Pareto 80-20 Rule. This is the law we want to talk about first. Then I got a great story for you. The Pareto 80-20 Rule. Vilfredo de Pareto was an Italian sociologist and economist. During his studies, he realized that in general, 80% of a nation's income was in the hands of only 20% of the population. Extrapolating the concept, Pareto defined a rule that became known as the Pareto 80-20 Rule. It could be summarized as follows. 80% of the results are produced by 20% of the causes. 80% of your results being produced by 20% of what you do. Good or bad. High level or low level. That's going to be the payoff here. But let's dig in a little bit more. Some examples. 20% of criminals commit 80% of the crimes. 20% of drivers cause 80% of all traffic accidents. 80% of pollution comes from 20% of the factories. 20% of a company's products represent 80% of their sales. 20% of employees are responsible for 80% of their results. 20% of students have grades of 80% or higher. I would go so far as to say this. 20% of chiropractors are responsible for 80% of all the adjustments being given. 20% of the chiropractors are collecting over 80% of all the money being collected in chiropractic. 20% of your staff are causing 80% of your headaches. 20% of your staff are causing 80% of your productivity. 20% of your exercises are bringing 80% of your results from exercise. 20% of your food is bringing 80% of the nutrition. 20% of your marketing brings 80% of the results. 20% of software counts for 80% of the usefulness of the software. 20% of the plays of a football team bring 80% of the yards or points. 20% of the subluxations are causing 80% of the spinal problems. 20% of what you read brings 80% of the value from what you read. It's very interesting, isn't it? And you see this to be true. It has to be true. So what does this mean as it relates to you, your practice, your business, and your life? Here's the single point we want to address. 20% of your patients are responsible for around 80% of your collections. Now, is it possible that we can shift upward the entire scale of 2080? Let's say if 20% of the people are bringing 80% of our collections, and we have a collection per visit of $40. We want more of the 20%, don't we? If I'm in an area where I am able to have a significant part of my practice be personal injury, which may pay better than typical cases, is there anything wrong with me wanting to emphasize the personal injury part of my practice and increase that 20%? And shift the entire scale? Now, it's still going to be 20% or bringing 80% of the collections, but your collections can double by focusing on the 20% of the highest value cases. So if I focus on, hey, what are the highest value cases I can get in my area? What is that for you? I wonder if chiropractors think about this. If I'm across from a huge company that has 80-20 unlimited coverage, well, obviously, those are going to be high-value cases for me, so I'm going to be all over that company, in there doing talks, flyers in there, okay? I'm going to have testimonials from people from there. I'm going to be mailing to people in the business and around the area. It is an absolutely worthwhile pursuit to try to expand the number of higher value patients you have. Because, see, really, your volume is limited. You can only see so many people. We are not like a company that can sell millions of products on a global scale. There's you, and you can only see so many people because you have a fixed number of minutes and you have an average treatment time. So therefore, you have a box that you can fit your productivity into, and that's it, and it's fixed. If I'm in the office 28 hours in the week, I've got 28 hours, period. And I don't even have 28 hours because of the laws of capacity, because not everybody comes in equally distributed during the shift, do they? So because I know my volume is going to be capped, my only choice then is to see if I can increase the quality and the value of the individuals I have coming in. But Tori, I want to take care of everybody. Okay. I've been there. Seeing 400 or 500 visits a week and getting paid for 200 or 300 because I'm letting everybody bring all their kids in for free. That's when your elbows start to hurt and your back starts to hurt and you're getting beat up and your soul is beginning to corrode because you're doing all of this work for nothing. By the way, what about adjusting a child is any less complex than adjusting an adult? Huh? Do dentists work on somebody's kids for free? Never, ever. Ever. Why is it in chiropractic that we're going to do all these special things for kids? We love kids. We want kids under care. That's all true. But from a business model, you know, do kids get free cereal at the grocery store? Kids are more complicated, more complex, difficult to work with. Shouldn't they cost more? But Tori, I love kids and I want to have a mom and kid practice. Great. You can absolutely build the kind of practice that you want. But anytime you put your hands on somebody, it's valuable. And there's risk, isn't there? So we do have to be careful about our fees and our care plans and all of that, and those are topics for another day. But as it relates to the Pareto rule here, what I am suggesting is this. Take a look at your patients and go, what are the highest value cases that I get, and how do I get more of them? as I learned that personal injury cases were higher value. Everybody needs chiropractic care, so if I work on a 42-year-old guy in a car wreck or a 4-year-old boy, what's the difference? Don't they both need chiropractic equally? Is there anything more noble or less noble than any type of practice? If I want to be a sports person, if I want to focus and have a lot of Medicare people coming in, if I want to have injury people, if I want to have kids and babies, if I want pregnant moms, if I want overweight people, if I want CrossFit competitors, everybody needs chiropractic care at all ages. Nothing is more noble or less noble than anything else. Everybody needs care at all ages, at all times. It's just human beings with a spine. They all need care. How many can I get my hands on? But you can focus on what you like. That's how you build a beautiful practice of the type of people that you like to see. But again, I suggest, how do you have those be a greater percentage of higher value cases? So, yes, it may be 20% of the people bring 80% of the collections, but that's true in the office where one chiropractor collects $120,000 a month. And it's also the same rule that applies for the chiropractor, one chiropractor, that collects $20,000 a month. Volume plus higher concentration of higher value cases. I was able to get to the point where I would average over 100 personal injury visits a week, able to get my collection per visit to around $100 a visit. Because I just said, hey, I can only be in here so many hours. Everybody needs chiropractic care. I'll work on anybody that comes in from 5 seconds old to a pregnant mom who's 5 seconds from delivering a baby to a senior citizen who's 99 years old to the star of the high school girls' softball team to whoever. That's what I'm called to do. Chiropractor, human spine, all ages, all circumstances, all situations. Check, examine, care plan, adjustment, see if you can change your life. Yet at the same time, running a small business, hey, don't you think the Lamborghini dealer wants to sell the highest value vehicles they have on the showroom floor? Of course they do. More the better, right? Nothing wrong with that. And there's nothing wrong with you wanting to have a higher percentage of higher value cases in the office, whatever that may be for you. It isn't always money. High level point coming up here, people. Yes, 20% of the people may bring 80% of your collections, but also 20% of your people bring 80% of your satisfaction in practice. So sometimes having more of the people you like to work on, hey, that's worth more than the money. Using the personal injury example, sometimes are these people difficult to work with? Sure. They're out to get the free care. They're out to see, sometimes manipulate the system. They're out to, of course, see what they can get. Okay, and hardly any of them will follow through because they've never had to pay anything. So injury plan and the injury case ends and you say, hey, now you have to pay, poof, they're gone. Okay? There's a dissatisfaction there. Compared to the wonderful mom with her two little boys that come in and pay cash and you love working on them and taking care of them and being part of their life for years and years. So you see here once again, 20% of the people maybe bring 80% of the collections, but a different 20% of the people bring 80% of the satisfaction. How do we get it to be both? Where 20% of the people bring the money and the satisfaction. Well, only you can figure that out for your area. That's why people join and hang with me. Because I'm the guy that can figure it out for you. So you can have an office you love to go to that's graceful, awesome, and super productive. So remember now, let's go after what ends up being the best use of our time. The great John DeMartini, D.C., basically got to the point in his life where he said, I don't do anything other than read, write, research, and travel. I delegate everything else. In other words, that's the 20% that brings 80% of the satisfaction in his life. So he basically says, that's all I'm going to do. He hasn't driven a car in like 25 years, hasn't cooked a meal in 25 years, lives a completely global traveling life where all he does is read and research and write and speak, okay, and travel is part of it. Delegate everything else. Quite an incredible life. Possibly the most interesting chiropractor who ever lived in the modern era. Many interesting chiropractors, but there's none ever in history like Demartini. An unbelievable story. And I will talk to new chiropractors. Who's Demartini? I don't know. You don't know? You don't know who John Demartini, D.C. is? It's such an unbelievable story, you almost can't even wrap your head around it. Very inspiring. And he's one of those people that never lost sight of how awesome chiropractic is and promoting chiropractic. He didn't get popular and make a couple dollars and then bail, turn his back on the profession because he was so awesome now. He's always been locked on to the chiropractic principle and chiropractic awesomeness, though he has expanded outside the chiropractic world for his work. Let's move on. Story time, my friends. Story time, story time. Many of you who know me have heard this story. Many of you have heard this story outside of myself, but there's a lesson in this story that's so incredible. Once upon a time, on the sandy bank of a small meandering river, not very wide, maybe 30 feet, just moving very slowly. And on the bank sits this frog, a big fat frog, hanging out there, minding his own business, having some fun, enjoying the way the sun feels on his spotted back. Then all of a sudden, from out behind a rock, appears this scary black scorpion. And the frog is scared. The frog is scared because, hey, scorpions sting frogs and kill them. So the frog is frightened. And sure enough, the scorpion engages the frog in conversation and says, Mr. Frog, don't be alarmed. I'm not going to hurt you. I do see that you're considering swimming across the river to the other side, and I too desire to reach the other side of the river. Do you think it's possible I could climb up on your back and ride across as you swim? No, Scorpion, I'll get out there and you'll sting me. Oh, Mr. Frog, surely I wouldn't do that, because if I were to sting you out there in the river, then I would drown and die as well. Well, I guess that makes sense, Scorpion. Okay, hop on. So the scary black scorpion shuffles up onto the frog's back, and The frog starts in, swimming across this meandering river, hardly any current. Imagine looking down and seeing this frog's legs going kick, 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 you know, extending with those weird legs and feet, scorpion perched up on the back, cruising across, third of the way across, halfway across, out in the middle of the river, scorpion stings the frog. The venom starts to take hold and the frog starts to go under. Trying to kick, keep his head above water. Venom is taking more hold, paralysis, trying to kick, can barely get above water, starts to go under, finds himself, one last kick, kind of gets up above the water again, and he finds himself face to face with the scorpion. And he goes, Scorpion, Scorpion, why did you do that? And the scorpion looked at the frog and said, because I'm a scorpion. And down they go. What's the moral to the story? What do you learn from the story? There are people that you are going to deal with, and it will not matter what they say to your face, and they will look good, and they will sound good, but really they're scorpions. So here in Winner's Edge, we talk about that all the time, whether or not people or organizations are scorpions. Oh, he's a scorpion, or that place full of scorpions. There are people that are out to get you without your best interest in mind. I want you to really think about something. I'm going to ask you a heavy question right now. How many people in the world really give a damn about your dreams? I mean, truly, not just say that they do or that they're supposed to because of who they are. No, I mean genuinely give a rip about your dreams or anything that matters to you. How many people is that? One? Two, three? How many, really? I'm in Key Largo, a place called Gilbert's, just south of Jewfish Creek, the real gateway into the Keys. By the way, a key is formed from coral. That's why it's called a key and not an island. An island is formed of rock. So it's Key West because it's formed by coral. So a key is made by coral and an island is made by rock. All keys are islands, but not all islands are keys. Sitting with a chiropractor friend. Got a gal with me. He's got a gal with him. Hanging out there under this tiki thing, 86 degrees, nice and sunny, power boats. It's beautiful. Heading down. Stopped there for lunch. Then I said to him, who really gives a damn about your dreams? And he goes, two people. One of them was his girlfriend sitting next to him, and the other was me. And he's right. He's certainly right about her and how much she cares genuinely, not because of self-interest, and how much I care and the effort I've put into try to be useful in his life. How about you? How many people really care and are pulling for you? How many people follow up when you say you don't feel good? Say, hey, are you better yet? Are you better yet? Many people are nice, but they really aren't. It sounds like this. Hey, can you come and help me? Oh, I'd sure love to, Sherry. You know how much blah, 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 but I just can't make it, blah, blah. They're super nice, but their results and their activity around your life doesn't do anything. And then you could have someone that reaches down and grabs you by your neck and yanks you out of the water as you're in trouble and throws you up on the dock. Shakes their head and walks away. They weren't very nice, but they saved your life. Which one of the two cares about you more? You see, once again, sometimes the gruff, growly people with an edge care about you way more than the people that are all nice who act like they care. Can't go very far without asking, what kind of person are you? Do you actually give a damn about anybody else's dreams but your own? I mean, really, you know, you're going to say that you do because you're supposed to say that you do because you want to have that sort of morality and ethical constitution, right? But do you really? You care about me, Tori the chiropractor? You care about my dreams coming true? Do you want me to earn more money? Do you really? I want you to earn more money. I can guarantee that. I've dedicated my whole life to that. All the audio sets, all of the videos, all the books, all the events, this podcast, all my interactions, all the phone calls, 20,000 emails a year, everything is dedicated toward helping chiropractors reach more people and earn more money. How many give a damn about me or wanting me to earn more money? See, don't you want people to want you to earn more money? But how many people do you want to earn more money? Okay, in other words, are you able to genuinely put yourself in other people's shoes? Or are you stuck inside your own head? In the modern world, it used to be in history, a couple more points here, we'll wrap this up. It used to be in history that everything around a country was religious-based. And you see this with some countries where everything revolves around religion. They got to stop at 3 o'clock and do this, and there's all this time off during the year, and all of this worship for whatever their thing is. Okay? There's that. Then it went to where it was the worship of government, like you see old Soviet Union, where everything was the worship of the government and government power. Kind of get the idea? Religion-based society, and then we have a government-controlled and completely government-centered society. Now, in the U.S., we have the me-centered society. In fact, it's called an iPhone, an iPad. It's the me-centered society. Everything revolves around me and what I want and what I don't like and what triggers me and how I think everything should be because I'm so awesome. I should be able to tell everybody else what to do. And I think this, and I think that everybody should drive electric cars. And I think that people are having too big of a carbon footprint. And I think that people should be vegans. Okay. You know, and on and on and on, almost always based on complete garbage information. Remember now, to be a vegan, you got to kill 100 times more animals than you have to kill to raise cattle. But of course, people in vegan world, you know, people only see what they want to see to justify their idea of how they think everybody else should live. It's a very interesting world we live in. Me, 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 me. And look at social media. Everybody's posting these pictures of themselves and people in their fancy outfits and lip-syncing songs in their skimpy clothes or guys doing stuff with their cars or motorcycles. It's just, look at me, look at me, look at me. Everybody think I'm awesome. My whole self-esteem hangs on whether or not you like me. Just think of how corrupt and how horrible that is. It's so corrupt. It's so bad. But again, in the modern world, people don't know any different. They haven't seen it be different. Okay? I might date myself a little bit, but I remember when the cordless phone came out. I remember there was no such thing as a cell phone. If you wanted to call somebody, you had to be in someone's house or use a payphone. I remember the very first computers that were ever put into a school, the Apple II, running on a 5 1/4 inch floppy disk. Those were great times. There was more peace, more clarity of mind. See, remember now, the purpose of putting screens in front of your face is to program you. That's the purpose of every screen that you see. It's to get a centralized authority to put a screen in front of everybody as a programming tool so they can take over your life. And that's what happens, and people don't realize that's the case. It's kind of like the story where you put the frog in the water and you turn the heat up slowly and you kill it. That's what's happening with society, is they just warm everybody up and get all this craziness into people's heads, and then they sit back and watch everybody battle with each other. We want to lead a victorious life. So we talk about two things on this podcast. One, 20% of your people are bringing 80% of the joy, satisfaction, collections. Hey, let's increase that 20% by going after them. We understand the story of the scorpion and the frog. And everybody that works at a financial institution is a scorpion. Anybody trying to sell you insurance is for sure a scorpion. Anybody who has money to gain on any commission type of thing, or sales or otherwise, is going to be a scorpion. Like I'm a chiropractic scorpion, everybody I see, I think, needs chiropractic, except the thing that I want to deliver is going to be good for them, not just out to make a sale that benefits me and who cares about them. Look at all the advertising that's fake. All the drug companies are scorpions. Much of the medical world, scorpions. Financial people trying to get your money, scorpions. Commercials on TV trying to get people, trying to get you to buy their stuff, scorpions. You are surrounded by scorpions. This is why you have to be mentally fit, physically fit, connected to high-level people like myself. Part of a high-level success group to be around other like-minded people to develop the awareness and the acuteness and the sharpness to know who the scorpions are. So you can navigate life successfully. So in other words, we have a life that has, we're playing defense, we're keeping the scorpions from getting us, and then we have to have offense by going after, hey, the 20% of action and things that bring 80% of our results and satisfaction in life. And that's how we build an incredible life. So let's be careful. Let's go after the high value cases. Let's be aware that everybody in relationships, okay, here, hey, females listening, you ever met a guy who was a scorpion? Huh? Hey, guys, you ever met a female who was a scorpion, a black widow, a praying mantis? Of course, they're all over the place, on both sides. It's sad, but that's the dark world we live in. But we want to have light. We want to do what's right. We want to have a higher level of awareness, okay? We get the arrogance aside. We get the spitefulness aside. We get the me, me, me aside. We get outside of our own heads. And we sit there and think, hey, I'm going to be a person that genuinely cares about other people. When I go and talk to them and I have suggestions, they know I'm coming from the right place. And of course, as a result of that, people will know that you're genuine, that you care, and that you're the kind of person that can help them what? Reach their dreams, because you are one of the few people in another person's life, or in many people's lives, that genuinely cares about their dreams. Tori out.
Thanks for tuning in to the Cairo Success Podcast. To learn more about how you can create the dream practice and life today, visit us online at winnersedgeconsulting.com. Thanks again, and we'll catch you in the next episode.